Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we've got some really interesting guests. In the first half, we're going to talk to Kelly Stone on therapeutic yoga and movement therapy. And in the second half, we're going to talk to Kim Dixon on the Family Alliance on Mental Illness. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Could clues to future health emergencies be found in Facebook posts? Maybe so, according to a new study that discovered there are changes in users' posts before they seek emergency care. For the study, researchers analyzed the Facebook posts and medical records of more than 2,900 patients at a U.S. urban hospital, including 419 who had a recent emergency department visit for problems ranging from chest pain to pregnancy-related issues. Analysis of Facebook posts from as early as 2.5 months before those patients' emergency visits revealed that most had changes in their language before seeking emergency care. There was also increased use of anxious, worrisome, and depressed language, according to the study published March 12th in the journal Nature Scientific Reports. From weight loss to physical activity, lifestyle changes are effective yet underused strategies to manage atrial fibrillation, according to a new scientific statement from the American Heart Association. Atrial fibrillation, also known as AFib, is an abnormal heart rhythm affecting more than 2.7 million Americans. In AFib, the heart's upper chambers beat erratically, which can lead to blood clots. If clots break off, they can cause a stroke. AFib increases stroke risk fivefold. Lifestyle changes that can help fight AFib include maintaining a healthy weight, being active, and not smoking. But there are caveats, according to the statement. Extreme physical activity can raise the risk of AFib, so workouts at professional level intensity are not advised. The health of both mom and dad are key to a healthy pregnancy and birth, new research finds. In the study of nearly 786,000 births, researchers found that dads who weren't in the best of health were more likely to have preterm and low birth weight infants who spent time in the neonatal intensive care unit. Lead researcher Dr. Alex Kassman said the study suggests that a father's help before conception should be considered, as it can affect the outcome of the pregnancy for both the child and mother. He's a resident physician in the Department of Urology at Stanford University Hospital in Stanford, California. Because the study looked at data retrospectively, it can't prove that the father's health caused these medical problems, only that they seem to be associated. The report was published March 6th in the journal Fertility and Sterility. For people who want to stop drinking, the world's oldest alcohol support group is still the best way, a new review concludes. In an analysis of 27 studies, researchers found that Alcoholics Anonymous was typically more effective than behavioral therapies when it came to helping people remain abstinent. AA also appeared as good as those therapies in reducing excessive drinking and the consequences of it. The researchers said the results might sound surprising. Behavioral therapies are delivered by mental health professionals, while AA is a support group run by lay people. Co-researcher Keith Humphreys said he was once a skeptic. Humphreys, a professor of psychiatry at Stanford University School of Medicine in California, said, "Early in my career, I thought it sounded silly. What could come from a bunch of people sitting around talking?" The review was published March 11th in Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews.
We have Kelly Stone with us today, and she works with therapeutic yoga and movement therapy. And I would just like to welcome you, Kelly, to the Health First Radio program.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for inviting me.
It's so good to have you on. Can you tell us a little bit about yoga therapy and how it's different maybe than just a regular simple beginner's yoga class?
Yeah, of course. Therapeutic yoga encompasses all eight limbs of yoga. So you might go to a beginner yoga class and what you would learn there has a lot to do with the movement or asana practice of yoga, whereas therapeutic yoga looks more at how the person is breathing, what's happening in their social community, how they are managing psychologically, you know, what's going on with them as far as fear or insecurity, what are their spiritual beliefs, all of that stuff is encompassed. Yeah.
So you're taking the whole energetic body as well as the physical body into account.
Yeah, of course, all five koshas, yes.
This is fascinating medicine. You've been involved with it for a while, and I hear that you actually got to go to an ashram in India to research and learn and work with this.
Yeah, I was just in Chennai, India at Yoga Rakshanam, and it's not quite an ashram. It's a yoga therapy clinic, so a little different than, say, a yoga ashram where you might go to learn a 200-hour to four your 200, 300, or 500 hour PT. This is a place where people of various levels of health and wellness seek help with stuff that maybe their doctors or specialists have not been able to address.
So taking their health into their own hands and really, really looking for deeper issues.
Yeah, yeah. The clinic that I was at, for example, one of the differences would be that they only worked one-on-one individually with people. And, yeah, there was a lot of care and concern as a team that all of the teachers or practitioners there would help each other and sort of troubleshoot how they could best serve the people that were seeking help.
Kelly, what were some of your big aha moments in going through this that didn't you didn't see, that you saw things in maybe in a different way before, and that it changed your way of looking at healing?
The big aha moment, mostly just the look on some of the people's faces. So given that I am a student studying under the practitioners, I had the opportunity of watching people come in. Some people coming in, say, with frozen shoulder. There was a fellow who was in so much pain carrying his arm, which I've seen quite regularly, given the work that I do in my own massage clinic. And just watching how the yoga therapist interacted with him, and within 20 minutes, his face had gone from this painful grimace to an expression of awe and surprise at how he all of a sudden found some freedom and was able to move his arm. And he had been told, of course, that there was nothing else that he could do by many other healthcare practitioners. And so he had found a solution. And he just kept saying, wow, wow, wow.
Just like magic and miracles. That's
it was
so
magic
fast
for him.
Yeah.
Another really event that was very, very touching and brought tears was an autistic boy who was 19. And six weeks prior to coming to the clinic, was unable to make eye contact or write his name. And, you know, when he was asked if he would be an example and just demonstrate what he had been practicing over the last 6 weeks, he wrote his name on the board, and he came and shook all of our hands, and he said, "Nice to meet you, nice to meet you, nice to meet you." And everybody was just in awe of his progress in such a short period of time.
And this is just through the therapies, like, and movements in the body, changing the energies of the body. This is not medication. This is not, right?
Well, it's not like a chemical medication, say, like a prescription. But I believe in a lot of ways it is a medication.
Okay.
It's one that we haven't, you know, maybe addressed or looked at for a long time. There's a lot of information that's coming out now that is scientifically explaining some of the knowledge that has been passed down for thousands and thousands of years in some of the yoga sutras and the scriptures. It has to do with Stephen Porges' polyvagal theory. It has to do with all of the different blood vessels that sit in around our belly button, the 72,000 nadis that yoga has known about for thousands of years, you know, and just now we're starting to realize these power points in the body. Yes.
Fascinating. Who have been some of your favorite mentors? Now, you've been at this for quite a while now. Who have some of the mentors been really important in your life?
Oh, wow. That would be a very tough question to answer. I could do that on a daily basis, maybe.
Yeah.
Because every person that I've come in contact with, you know, I just feel like has further enhanced my awareness, whether it be somebody who is on their own journey of health and wellness or somebody who is on the journey of helping others on their journey. Yeah, many. Definitely the teachers in India. There were an engineer, a lawyer, and a woman who has a master's in teaching, and they all left their business careers after realizing the power that yoga had to help others. And even though their careers were very oriented around helping and improving the welfare of others, nothing to the extent that therapeutic yoga has done. And so...
Fascinating, yeah. It's so fascinating.
Radha, VG, and Sridhar, this is a big shout out to them and their dedication, so thank you.
Yeah, and thank you to all the yoga teachers through time. When did you know that this was your dharma, your purpose, to actually be on this path and help people heal?
I feel like I've always kind of known that there was something within me that knew that there was truth there. And so, you know, I've spent many years in university studying psychology and counseling, and I have and hold many certifications from holistic natural health practitioner to, aromatherapy. I always knew that something was there, and just being able to live in the practice of yoga has really solidified that for me. And of course, opening the doors of a yoga studio and putting the invitation out there that I have information that may or may not be helpful to you, and just watching the people come in and watching the people change, and every day having that reassurance from those people who have interacted with me that they are on a path of health and healing and they feel like they found something. So that's how I know.
That's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. And tell us some of the things that go on at that yoga studio. There's many different ways to practice yoga.
Oh, yes, there's many different ways. At Yoga PG, we just have such a huge variety of teachers. So we really pride ourselves on being a place for everyone, including the fact that we do offer a lot of free events as well. Regardless of economic standing, people can still be involved. And for me, that is a really important part of practicing yoga, and part of practicing Dharma is more than just money. It's about offering your time. So everything from donating to local charities and encouraging teachers to really follow through with their passions to express whatever workshops, you know, we have anything from conscious breath work to yoga for golf to collective women's groups and free classes for the Humane Society, all the way from therapeutic yoga to Iyengar precision-based yoga and right up into the hot yoga, you know, get sweaty. So, yeah.
So if I needed some therapeutic yoga, would that be one-on-one if I went to your studio?
At the moment, I offer group classes, so they're much more cost-effective than meeting me privately. Mm-hmm. However, I am willing to work on a sliding scale financially. But yeah, I do recommend people to meet one-on-one. And after being in India for 6 weeks, I can see the value at meeting one-on-one. So when the teacher is there to be able to say, you know, how does your body feel if you breathe in just a tiny bit more? You know, just each person needs that encouragement. And I can't really offer that as a one-on-one or as a
group.
In a group setting, yes. And so, but I feel like the accessibility and some of the social interactions and contact that happens there is helping people heal as well. So they definitely have their place.
That's fantastic. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about therapeutic yoga.